Welcome in. It's Wednesday. It's the Huddle on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney and Lonzo. Another beautiful day. We have the sun out. Temps in the mid-50s. They back off of this snow thing for the weekend. It's not going to do it now. Is that?
Yeah, I'm hearing just rain now.
Yeah. They have rain on the forecast I'm looking at for Saturday and Sunday. So maybe up in the mountains of North Carolina, a little snow, but no big deal around here. Doesn't appear that way. Enjoy it today, though, because it is going to get colder with temperatures in the 40s for the next few days after today. So a little blast of cooler air here. Welcome in. Today on this Wednesday huddle, we have a lot to get to. Let's see. We're going to hear from Coach K and Zion Williamson. Zion had another big game last night for the Duke Blue Devils. So we will hear that. There's news from the Alliance of American Football that we will pass along a little bit later on the show. We have three questions at three to get into today. Mel Kiper Jr. commenting on the quarterbacks in the upcoming NFL draft. It's still a few months away, but picture becoming a little more clear with some decisions that have been made. Got another decision from a South Carolina Gamecock yesterday that we'll talk about. And they did make a coaching move yesterday. We'll dive into that, tell you what it means, what the new guy is expected to do for South Carolina, new assistant for the Gamecocks. Let's see. We have NFL to get into as we head toward the weekend and much, much more today. Now, by the way, tonight we will have the Swamp Rabbits on the air. Swamp Rabbits in Florida at 7:15. And Clemson plays Syracuse tonight, so that will be down the dial on WORD 106.3. Clemson-Syracuse, 7:30 airtime tonight. So we'll get you covered with some local sports tonight here at Intercom Upstate as well. Jump on board, 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307. Start your message with ESPN. You can always get us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. I guess the big thing today is moves in the NFL. The coaching carousel have been pretty busy yesterday and today. And here's the latest. The Denver Broncos reached an agreement with Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio to become the team's next head coach. That, according to sources quoted by ESPN, Fangio gets a 4-year contract that includes a team option for a 5th year. John Elway said he was looking for experience in the next head coach, and Fangio certainly has plenty of that. You may remember he was the first defensive coordinator for the Panthers way back when. But he's been around a long time, 60 years old. He spent all but one of the past 33 years as an NFL assistant, including the past 4 as the Bears defensive coordinator. He's never been a head coach at any level. But he made a strong impression with his head face-to-face meetings with team officials, including John Elway. Highly respected, the Bears' defense kind of speaks for itself. They were 30th in the NFL in 2014, the year before he arrived, and they improved to 13th in 2017. This year, they were number 1 in scoring defense and in takeaways. So Vic Fangio, he's coached the likes of Ray Lewis and Kevin Green. Khalil Mack, he coached, the 2016 Defensive Player of the Year. And with this Broncos defense, he will have some dudes, Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, Chris Harris Jr., and some others. So he's the new guy. Of course, the Broncos fired Vance Joseph on New Year's Eve after they finished up the season with a 6-10 record, losing to the Chargers. Missed the playoffs for the third straight time. And that's the first time the Broncos had finished with back-to-back losing seasons since 1971-72, and they had 10 losses for the first time since the 1960s. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, good defensive guy. I think he will probably make some people in the Denver area happy as Vic Fangio takes over there for the Denver Broncos. So that's one of the moves that has come out here today. Also, the Cleveland Browns have picked their guy. They haven't announced this yet, I don't think. But lots of sources saying Freddie Kitchens will be the new Cleveland Browns coach. Been reported by a lot of news organizations. Of course, he's been their offensive coordinator, and they have been pretty darn good offensively. So he's being rewarded for that. He'll be the 9th coach of the Browns since 1999. He's 44 years old. Also, no previous head coaching experience. But his work with the Cleveland offense, quarterback Baker Mayfield in the second half of the season, pushed him ahead of six other candidates interviewed by the Cleveland Browns. Of course, Mayfield is a key here, the number one pick in the NFL draft last year. And he threw 19 of his 27 touchdown passes, which was a rookie record, while Kitchens was overseeing the offense. So that's a fast rise for Freddie Kitchens. What do you think? Think he can get the job done? Certainly earned a chance, I think, with what he did.
It's a new name. I like when you hear new names coming up for coaching jobs to see what they can do, because it seems to be the same guys recycled over and over again.
Yeah, we're getting some fresh blood in here. I mean, these guys have been around a while, but they haven't been head coaches. Speaking of guys who've been around a while, Bruce Arians will be the next head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was announced last night by the team. 4-year deal with a 1-year option. He's coming out of retirement to do this. Retired after 2017, his fifth season as the coach of the Cardinals. So he worked on TV for CBS this past year. Buccaneers owner Brian Glazer said, Bruce Arians is one of the NFL's most respected coaches over the past two decades. We're excited to have him leading our team. He said they focused on finding the right coach with a proven ability to elevate players and lead the team forward. He played a large role in development and career of some of the league's best players, and that the Bucs look forward to seeing him continue that work with their franchise. Bruce Arians, 66 years old, expressed his excitement about joining the franchise, said proud and honored to be named the head coach of the Buccaneers, to work for such great ownership, the Glazer family, and GM Jason Licht. Time to get to work. He was technically under contract with the Cardinals through 2019. The league's office's original guidance to the Buccaneers was that no compensation was needed, but the Cardinals made a late argument that they should continue to hold the rights to Arians. And rather than being drawn into a protracted dispute, the parties agreed to swap 6th and 7th round picks to resolve the matter, so that clears the way for Tampa Bay to hire Arians. Todd Bowles, the former Jets coach, fired last month after 3 straight losing seasons in New York, will come to Tampa Bay with Arians as his defensive coordinator, according to ESPN. Todd Bowles played for Arians at Temple back in the mid-'80s, and they've been close friends ever since. Bowles served as his defensive coordinator for the Cardinals for 2013-2014, a job that was a springboard to him getting the head coaching position with the Jets, and of course, that did not work out. Bucks defensive line coach Brenson Buckner, remember that name, Clemson people, also on Arians' staff in Arizona, joined Tampa Bay last offseason. He's under contract through 2019. Right now, the plan is for Byron Leftwich to join the Bucks as offensive coordinator, Harold Goodwin to sign on as assistant head coach and coordinator of the run game. Arians will be reunited with GM Jason Licht, who served as the Cardinals' vice president of player personnel back in 2013. So there's that.
When you see something like this, do you wonder, why did Arians retire in the first place? If you're just going to jump back into the league, you know, this quick.
Happens a lot, though. People retire and they come back. Don't say anything. It happens. It happens all the time. They miss it, and they come back.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. I don't know that it's a real shock. Of course, the Cardinals have already made their move to Cliff Kingsbury. We've talked about that. He got a 4-year deal to be their next head coach. They made that official announcement yesterday. They're having a news conference sometime today to introduce Kingsbury. 39 years old, he replaces Steve Wilks. Is it fair that Steve Wilks was fired after one season? Who gets one season? What kind of test is that? I know they were 3-13, but good grief. 1 year? I'm not sure about that. You know, something behind the scenes that made them make that move after 1 year? I don't know.
If you remember, we had a three questions question, and you ask what jobs we thought would be under scrutiny and who was on the hot seat, and I remember picking him. And I know it was only one, but, I mean, they were pretty bad.
They were bad. But what do you expect in year one? Do you expect Major improvements in year one? I know there were no improvements.
You know, I would get it if they had a big name that they were bringing in, and boom, they were just going to put them in right away. But it seems like our leash is getting a whole lot shorter now.
Well, that one did, for sure. I don't know if they are in general. I mean, general rule of thumb is 3 years, right? Is that not the case anymore?
It used to be.
Is that gone now? We done with that right now? All right, and then some other coordinator news. Kevin Stefanski is set to return to Minnesota to be the offensive coordinator for the Vikings on a full-time basis. He was promoted from quarterback's coach to interim offensive coordinator ahead of Week 15 when the Vikings fired John DeFilippo, who was considered a finalist for the Cleveland Browns head coaching job. So this morning, ESPN reporting that Freddie Kitchens beat out Stefanski for that job. The Vikings were in a holding pattern over the past few days while Stefanski's talks with Cleveland ramped up. But sources indicated throughout the process the former interim OC was in regular communication with the Vikings about the possibility for coming back for his 14th season with the franchise. And that's considered a big move for continuity for the Vikings. They, well, sometimes look really good offensively and sometimes struggle. They finished 8-7-1 on the season, which was certainly disappointing, not making the playoffs. They were the only team in the NFL without a fourth quarter comeback or a game-winning drive in 2018. Of course, Kirk Cousins is their quarterback, just finished up his first year. He was 20th in yards, 19th in scoring. The Vikings had a top-tier passing game predicated off the success that he had with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, but the team struggled to generate a rushing attack. 30th in rushing yards per game, less than 100 rushing yards per game for the Minnesota Vikings. So they have made that move. We still have positions open, for sure, and there will be more announcements coming up in the days to come. But I think that's a general recap of what we have from the NFL yesterday and today. So lots of moves. It's that time of year. If you're not in the playoffs, you probably are in the coaching news business right now. That's kind of the way it goes in the National Football League right now. We will have full coverage for you for the playoffs this weekend. We'll have all four games for you on ESPN Upstate. Two Saturday and two Sunday, we'll have Indianapolis and Kansas City, Saturday afternoon, 4:35 kick. We'll have Dallas and the L.A. Rams, Saturday night at 8:15. The L.A. Chargers, not the San Diego Chargers, Sunday afternoon against New England, 1:05 kick. And the 4:40 game on Sunday, Philadelphia and New Orleans. All four, you can hear them right here on ESPN Upstate coming up this weekend. Another good lineup of NFL action. And with college football over, that's kind of what you got if you're a football fan for right now. 844-477-3776. So Dabo Swinney still making the rounds for the Clemson Tigers, interview after interview, celebrating the national championship from Monday night. And, you know, after Nick Saban's team's bad performance on Monday night, the topic has come up again. Would it be Dabo Swinney who gets the call if Nick Saban decides to hang it up? The narrative on that might have changed a little bit. We will dive into that a little bit next, so stay with us. 844-477-3776 here. Greg McKinney and Lonzo in the huddle on Wednesday on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney and Lonzo here, 22 after 1 o'clock, Wednesday edition, 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307. Start your message with ESPN. So now that we have no college football to talk about for a while, we'll be talking about it, but no games to preview for a while, it is inevitable that the conversation comes back up about the future of Dabo Swinney. And the question's been asked every year. Will he be lured away by Alabama once Nick Saban decides to hang it up? You remember, it's just a year ago that there were stories out about Dan Radakovich, the athletic director at Clemson, making the case that Clemson has demonstrated to Dabo that he could stay there and get to the highest level at Clemson. And certainly nothing happened this year to change that narrative. So, you know, I would say, Lonzo, that the chances of Dabo leaving for Alabama have taken a healthy little dip given what he's proven he can do at Clemson.
You know what? I think if you ask this question you're not a good reporter anymore. It's a boring question. Quit asking this. He's not going anywhere. Why would he leave now with what he has built at Clemson, what they've been able to do? He's built his own legacy. Why go somewhere else where there are other ones? I mean, he surpassed anybody who's ever coached at Clemson, hasn't he?
Absolutely. Done that. No question about that.
He is the man presently, and he is the man in history in the school where he is right now. Mm-hmm. And he's not slowing down, and the future looks really bright. Why go somewhere else? It just doesn't make sense.
49 years old. The only argument would be that it's one more thing to prove in his career, that he could also win at Alabama and do it at the highest level.
But what does that prove? I mean, you're going to a school that's already a winning school, so mm-hmm. you're just taking over a program from a winning coach.
Yeah, which is not what you want to do typically.
Yeah.
It's not the usual path to success.
That doesn't prove anything.
To be the next guy.
If he wants to prove something, he needs to go to another losing school and make them a winner again like he did at Clemson.
Well, there's almost no chance of that happening, right? Kirk Herbstreit on this topic today.
I don't want to just assume he won't do it or that it doesn't make sense, because he's an emotional guy. He's a sentimental guy. And so I'm sure when Coach Saban, who he respects immensely, steps down, I'm sure he will reflect. I'm sure he will think about it. But what he's built at Clemson, it's just different, guys. I mean, you have to be around it and see it. And I just cannot imagine him deciding, as much as he loves Bama, leaving Clemson.
That's Kirk Herbstreit's feeling about it. Now, Ivan Mazel, who's also worked for ESPN and does a podcast called Campus Conversation, where he covers college football, he has even stronger feelings about Dabo staying.
He's never going back to Alabama. Home for him is Clemson. Home for his family is Clemson.
Wow, never. You know,
they spend Christmas in Birmingham every year, but, you know, that's it. And I think he's just in a perfect place for him, and I don't think he's going anywhere.
So there's Ivan Mazel. Look, I understand you can get tired of the question, but you can bet your sweet bippy that it's coming up when Nick Saban retires.
What a reference there.
That's an aged reference.
Yeah, and it's pretty sad that I get it. Mm-hmm. It's from Laugh-In, and I can't believe that I get that. Mm-hmm. But even when the guy said that, the other guy was like, wow. Like he was shocked. Mm-hmm. That
never.
I mean, here's the thing. There was a time where you could say, yeah, but it's just Clemson. You can't say that anymore.
No,
you can't say it's just Clemson anymore.
Yeah.
You can't do that. So I think they need to quit asking the question.
It won't happen. You can give up on that. It's not going to happen until Nick is gone and the new guy's hired.
I have some breaking news, by the way.
What's that?
Jalen Hurts has entered the transfer portal.
Not surprising.
Nope.
Now, who wants Jalen Hurts? Who takes him?
He got screwed over in that game.
How's that?
Putting him in that position, I mean, it made him look so bad. I mean, after the last game he was in, he was a savior. He came in, he saved the season. They put him in and said, hey, fix this, knowing there's no way he could. And that look on his face still, like, really?
Well,
you want me to go in now?
Get a couple first downs at least. Couldn't do that. Couldn't do anything. No, it was a lost cause. But, I mean, that's your job as the backup quarterback. Yeah, well, we'll watch for the list to come out where Jalen Hurts might go, but that's no surprise at all that he's in the transfer portal. As is Justin Fields now going to Ohio State. He's made his decision. Justin Fields does plan to ask the NCAA for immediate eligibility, and he's hoping for an answer in the next 6 weeks. That, according to the attorney, helping him ask for the waiver. He enrolled this week at Ohio State. That happened after spending his first season at Georgia. Number 2 overall prospect in the 2018 recruiting class. Thomas Mars, the attorney who helped 6 former Ole Miss players secure waivers to play immediately after transferring in 2018, is helping Fields and Ohio State put together an argument that would allow him to skip the required 1-year waiting period after a transfer. Mars said he is optimistic that the process will move quicker than it did for the Ole Miss players last year. Mars said this morning, my prediction would be the next 6 weeks. Of course, Shea Patterson is the most famous player that Mars helped after leaving Ole Miss, but several others were the same. And they use the NCAA rule that allows players to transfer without penalty if there's documented evidence of egregious behavior at their former university. that negatively affected the athlete. So the Fields case surrounds the member of the Georgia baseball team that referred to Fields repeatedly with a racial slur during a Georgia game earlier in the season. That baseball player was dismissed from the team. The school did make some public statements addressing the issue, so it has that kind of background. Marr said that September incident is not the only issue Fields plans to raise, though. Marr said nobody who's on social media would have a problem with Justin getting a waiver if they knew the whole story. I'm trying to parse that statement a little bit. Nobody who's on social media would have a problem if they knew the whole story. So obviously there's some tweets. Aren't there tweets about everybody these days?
Yeah, so some people are doubting, like we are, that he should get the waiver and probably saying some pretty rough things. I want to hear the whole story. So now he's put it out there that there's more behind it. I want to hear what it is.
I wonder if we'll get the full report on what he tells those in charge and asking for this waiver. We'll see. So 6 weeks, so you're looking, you know, at by the end of February, should have an answer on this. If Thomas Marr's timeline has any relevance to this. Justin Fields, now limited playing time his freshman year, but he did throw for 328 yards and 4 touchdowns. If the decision was made in February, Ohio State would know his availability prior to the opening of spring practice. And then he could compete for the starting job with redshirt sophomore Tate Martell. That's the deal on that. So, what we're going to be hearing about, well, look, in the next few days, we're going to be hearing about more underclassmen making their decision about whether they're going to come back to college or go on to the NFL. And we're going to hear about that, the Justin Fields case. And now we're going to hear about Jalen Hurts and where he's going to transfer. So those are some of the storylines coming up here from the college football point of view over the next few weeks. 844-477-3776. Let's take the break. We'll be back. You're listening to The Huddle. This is ESPN Upstate. So if you're wondering about Jalen Hurts and would he have to sit a year, he does not because he has graduated. Graduated in December, so he can play immediately even though he's a junior as far as eligibility. Has a year of eligibility remaining. But he did enter the NCAA transfer portal today, according to ESPN. That's a necessary step to make him available for contact by other college football programs. Entering the portal does not lock him into leaving, though. He could still come back until he makes that decision. Remember, Jalen Hurts was Offensive Player of the Year in the SEC as a freshman. As a starter, he was 26-2, beaten out, though, by Tua Tagovailoa for the starting job this year, and Tua finished second in the Heisman voting behind Kyler Murray. Hurts played a lot, though. He missed 3 weeks while recovering from a high ankle sprain, but appeared in every other game. Passed 51 for 70 for 756 yards, 8 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Ran for 167 yards and 2 touchdowns. Expected to have several suitors on the transfer market. He was silent when it came to his future throughout the postseason. Before the Orange Bowl against Oklahoma, he called media speculation unfounded and insisted he never said anything about transferring. It was a good thing for Alabama that he did decide to hang around, because when Tua injured his ankle and was forced to leave the SEC championship game with the Crimson Tide behind Georgia by a touchdown late, Jalen Hurts came off the bench, threw the game-tying touchdown, and ran in the go-ahead score in the game. Nick Saban lauded his resilience after his performance against the Bulldogs. At the time, Saban said, "I've probably never been more proud of a player than Jalen for hanging around and finishing that out." But it looks like Jalen Hurts doesn't want to keep hanging around. He will move on if he can find the proper place to go as he enters the NCAA transfer portal now, so teams can get in touch with him. Here's what South Carolina has done. They've made official today that they have a new coach in Thomas Brown. He's the new running backs coach. Bobby Bentley will stay. He will now coach tight ends. And the tight ends coach will move on. So that's the maneuvering that South Carolina will make on the coaching staff here in the early offseason. Ray Tanner called Thomas Brown a high-energy young man. Will Muschamp said he's an outstanding young football coach and an outstanding recruiter. They wanted to get this done really quickly, apparently, because they need him on the road recruiting right now. He is only 32 years old, so he, you know, has that ability to relate to young athletes perhaps better than some of the older guys out there. And he has roots all over Georgia. He was at Tucker High School in the Atlanta area and then played for Georgia and then spent the past three seasons in South Florida coaching and recruiting in Miami. So those are recruiting-rich areas that the Gamecocks would like to do better in. And that's part of the reason they're bringing in Thomas Brown. He was the primary recruiter for a five-star tailback at Miami, Lorenzo Lingard, plus four stars, Travis Homer and Cameron Davis, all from Florida. He also was a key figure in pulling safety Arrington Farrar out of Atlanta and brought in some other four- and five-star guys as well. In 2018, he was ranked the number 36 recruiter in the country. That year, Travaris Robinson, another coach with South Florida ties, was the staff's best at number 56 nationally. So he ranked higher than T-Rob. This year, Robinson was 78th nationally. Bobby Bentley right behind that. And these recruiter rankings for what those are worth. So, I mean, what you see here, here's what I see here. Thomas Brown, running backs coach, Gamecocks, need some running backs badly. Big weakness on this team. Big weakness. They have gotten nothing really out of the position.
Is this a demotion for Bobby Bentley being moved to tight ends? Or is it just making room for a guy for recruiting purposes who's I don't know.
I don't know if they think he will coach up the running backs better, but they think he can bring in some better ones, you know? So that's fair. But look, I mean, Pat Washington's the guy that got demoted. He's out, the tight ends coach. So, you know, at least Bobby's still on the staff, and I don't know how he feels about that. And Bobby Bentley as running backs coach never made a whole lot of sense to me. How about you?
No, it didn't. Tight ends is a better fit. But still, I wonder if you're in that position – how they approach you and tell you, hey, yep. do they ask you, hey, are you okay with it? Or do they say, hey, by the way, we're moving you over here?
I don't speak for Will Muschamp, but I would be surprised if he asked if he was okay with it. Maybe. Maybe they have that kind of relationship. But look, I think it's more, hey, we got to do something about this running game. This running game is not happening. They haven't found a lead back. Who's the lead back? Is it Rico Dowdle?
I guess. I mean, that's the first name that comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't stay healthy. You know, A.J. Turner now playing in the secondary. How's that working out? They've just had issue after issue with running backs. So two things you get here. You get a guy that you think can bolster your running back coaching, and you get a guy that can go out and recruit. So, you know, you're sitting here in the state of South Carolina, and you're watching your rival win another national championship. Got to do something, right? Got to make some moves. Not to say that they wouldn't have done that anyway, but there's certainly some heat on turning it up a notch in Columbia. And well, there should be.
But are we to the point where the Gamecocks have to look at it that they're not going to get the top picks because Clemson winning the national championship again is probably got the leg up on every other school?
A situation here, though, is that Clemson is recruiting nationally and South Carolina is not really. I know they've pulled in guys like Halinski and a few here and there, but Clemson can't take all these South Carolina guys. So South Carolina's benefiting from that. It just doesn't feel that way. So, you look, they're going to get a lot of the top in-state guys because Clemson's getting their guys from all over the country. And that's not about to change. So I don't think it's so much about that. I think this is addressing the running game for South Carolina and trying to step up overall recruiting. So we'll see. They're looking for new running backs. They have been tracking four stars Tank Bigsby and Don Chaney Jr. for the 2020 class. They've signed four backs under Muschamp. None of them were in the top 500 national prospects. None of them. They have been in the running for some great guys. Haven't closed the deal with any of those guys. So, you know, they've been mediocre at best in the running game. This is their attempt to address that. So we'll see. Thomas Brown, just 32 years old, comes in, joins the South Carolina staff. That's made official today. New running backs coach and a really good recruiter. Hopefully that will make a difference for South Carolina fans going forward. That news making it official today. 844-477-3776. If you want to get in with us here in the huddle, Health Air text line 71307. We'll be right back on ESPN Upstate. The huddle on ESPN Upstate. Wednesday afternoon, Greg McKinney and Lonzo. Glad you're along with us. We're with you until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Greenville Swamp Rabbits hockey tonight, 7:15. Swamp Rabbits taking on Florida. Clemson-Syracuse basketball will happen at 7:30 airtime. And we'll have that on 106.3 WORD. By the way, this is pretty cool. Headed into that Clemson-Syracuse basketball game, they had a team meeting last night as Clemson prepares to play Syracuse on the road, second ACC game of the season. Head coach Brad Brownell gathered the team, began to start talking about what it's like to be a coach and to see player development firsthand. He concluded his speech to the team with something special is about to happen. Well, that something special was awarding a fourth-year walk-on, senior guard, Lyles Davis, a scholarship for his last semester of school. You know, it's not like that's a ton of money because they waited so late, but still pretty cool. I like that. Lyles Davis gets a scholarship on the Clemson basketball team. Last spring, he was awarded the Academic Excellence Award presented at the basketball banquet. He is a two-time winner of the Man of the Month Award presented by the Director of Basketball Strength and Conditioning. That's graded out over the course of a month and a weekly basis after each practice session. So pretty cool there. Congratulations to that young man. Brad Brownell awarding Lyles Davis a scholarship for his final semester, the senior guard for the Clemson basketball team. Again, Clemson-Syracuse coming up tonight at 7:30 on WORD 106.3. Still a ways away from the NFL draft, of course. But that's kind of the next big thing, I guess, now that college football is over. And the guru for ESPN, Mel Kiper Jr., has clarified his opinion now on what he thinks about the quarterbacks going into this year's NFL draft.
From a draft standpoint, Dwayne Haskins is the man. Justin Herbert's going back to Oregon. Daniel Jones-Duke is more of a mid-first-round draft choice potentially. This is the man. This is the guy. If you want to get the big-time quarterback this year, you're going to have to go up. It makes that Arizona pick more valuable, certainly. And Dwayne Haskins, I think even despite 14 career starts, we saw it with Mitchell Trubisky, second year leading the Bears to the playoffs. Dwayne Haskins, a lot will be asked right away of these quarterbacks. We see that. All these guys that went in the first round, Grinny, are starting. Dwayne Haskins has the mental makeup and the confidence. This kid is incredibly confident in his ability to come in despite just 14 career starts and have a chance to get the job done.
Well, Haskins is probably, it's probably true he's going to be the first quarterback taken, but don't look for him to be right at the top of the draft board this year. CBS Sports out with a new projected draft as of today. And here's what they say. Arizona with the number one pick, they say will go for Ohio State's Nick Bosa, teammate of Dwayne Haskins, defensive end. They could use some offensive line help for protecting Josh Rosen, but Nick Bosa is the best player available by most sources. And so unless they trade that, probably would be the pick, Nick Bosa, defensive end from Ohio State for Arizona.
There'll be a lot of people wanting Nick Bosa, so that pick's going to be valuable. They could get a lot out of it if they decided to trade it.
Agreed. Remember Rashawn Gary, defensive end from Michigan. You didn't hear that much out of him at Michigan. He almost went to Clemson. Remember following his recruiting a few years back? Well, he's now ready to head to the NFL, and CBS projects him as the number two overall pick to the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers don't really have a need that matches up well with where they're picking this year. They have a quarterback. They have a lot of interior linemen. But they could use an edge rusher. Rashawn Gary could be the choice there for the 49ers. At number three, the Jets have that pick. The New York Jets. CBS says, look for a guy you saw on TV Monday night, defensive lineman Quinnen Williams from Alabama, to go to the New York Jets. Put him up there with Leonard Williams, and you would be in pretty good shape on your defensive line. So,
you would take him ahead of any of the Clemson guys?
You know, I haven't watched him as much, but that's the general consensus, that those Clemson guys are great, but just one guy standalone, Quinnen Williams is probably the best out of the group. That's what most people are projecting this year. But I'll get to the Clemson guys. They're not far behind. Pick number four projected by CBS. Kentucky outside linebacker Josh Allen. Remember here from that South Carolina game. He was a beast there. He produced 31 sacks in the last 3 years, 17 this past year with Kentucky. Josh Allen, the outside linebacker from Kentucky. Devin Bush, linebacker from Michigan, projected at number five for Tampa Bay. What is Tampa Bay going to do? I mean, they're committed to Jameis Winston. You know, Bruce Arians coming in as the coach, just starting to think about what he will want, what will be his influence.
I just saw a quote Bruce Arians said they're going to build a team around Jameis.
Yeah. Yeah, they're committed to Jameis. So linebacker from Michigan, Devin Bush, projected there. So we still haven't gotten a quarterback. At number six, New York Giants, would they go for a quarterback? Would they? Could they? They could.
That's got to be a spot, man.
CBS says no. CBS says the Giants go for Dexter Lawrence from Clemson. Defensive tackle who did not play in the postseason this year. But to give them a great player on the defensive line, CBS says Dexter Lawrence goes there. So the first quarterback goes to pick number seven. You know Jacksonville is going to get a quarterback. Unless they have free agent plan, they're done with Blake Bortles. They're just done with him. So Dwayne Haskins, projected by CBS, as the number seven overall pick to the Jacksonville Jags.
That's not a bad spot for him. It really isn't. Because they've been lacking in quarterback for some time, and I think he would do pretty well. You know he's going to start right away, though.
Yes, definitely. They're ready. That would be, yeah, it wouldn't be terrible. And they're still not terrible. They're not what they were defensively, but, you know, they give you something on that side of the ball. So.
One thing, I mean, he's going to struggle starting right off as a rookie, but he can't do much worse than, you know.
Bortles.
Yeah.
As of late. Yeah, I agree with that. Another Clemson guy projected by CBS at the number eight overall pick, and that's Cleland Farrell. Furrell. They're telling us it's pronounced Furrell. That's the way he says you pronounce it.
Okay, because they were pronouncing it that, yeah. You know, Monday, and I was like, is that right?
That's what he says. So, Furrell. D lineman to Detroit with pick number eight. Lions traded for Snacks Harrison during the season, so they've gotten some help there, but Mac Patricia and Bob Quinn are projected to be guys who would stock up on defensive linemen. And there are a lot of defensive linemen in this draft, so don't be surprised about that. Buffalo Bills pick at number nine. CBS is saying offensive lineman Jonah Williams of Alabama could be the guy there. One of the best. It's probably the best offensive lineman in this draft, Jonah Williams from Alabama, so to Buffalo. At number 10, Denver gets the pick. Greedy Williams, cornerback from LSU. That's difficult. And, you know, the Broncos just made their coaching decision, so he's going to have some, Fangio's going to have some influence on that decision. We'll have to see what his thoughts on that are. Chris Harris is headed into the final year of his deal, and we don't know if he'll be sticking around to pair up with Bradley Roby. So adding Greedy Williams would give them some flexibility. So what we have, we had two Clemson guys in the top 10, and we get another one at number 11 in this projection. Christian Wilkins, defensive lineman from Clemson, to the Cincinnati Bengals, according to CBS. Marvin Lewis gone, so a lot of change could be coming to the Cincinnati Bengals, and don't really know what their outlook is going to be on what they want. My Green Bay Packers pick at number 12. CBS says Houston defensive tackle Ed Oliver. Interesting. I don't know about this guy. I mean, he might be. He's an athlete. He's awesome. I don't know about the fit for Ed Oliver.
So you're worried about the off the field, the whole jacket thing and all that kind of stuff.
A little loony, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
We need Looney Tune. But he's a player.
You need something on that defense.
Yeah.
So even if he's a little crazy. That might be what the doctor ordered.
If he passes the interview, yeah, could be. Second quarterback, CBS projects it going off the board at number 13 to the Miami Dolphins. Will Greer out of West Virginia, who didn't play in the postseason this year. Greer, a lot of flash, making NFL-type throws in college. So that's not a bad pick to be the second quarterback taken. The Falcons pick at number 14, and CBS Sports has them going for edge rusher Ja'Chai Polite from Florida. The Falcons made a bunch of changes in their coordinators after a bad year this year. They're trying to improve that defense, which is not very good. And Dan Quinn's a defensive guy, and he has roster control, so look for him to go defense. Polite out of Florida, not a bad projection there. They have another quarterback going at pick number 15, the third one of the first round, Duke's Daniel Jones, and they have him going to the Washington Redskins. Redskins for Daniel Jones out of Duke. Carolina Panthers at number 16. Man, what would you do if you're the Panthers? Where do you need the most help at Carolina?
Defensive line would be mine, where I would go.
CBS Sports says offensive line.
Really? Okay.
Have them picking up Greg Little out of Ole Miss to help protect Cam Newton. Marty Herney hasn't had a real history of going first round to offensive line, though. So that would be a bit of a departure for him. Cleveland at number 17. They say Florida State edge rusher Brian Burns. Minnesota at number 18, Cody Ford, tackle out of Oklahoma. The Titans going for DeAndre Walker, linebacker out of Georgia. They already have a pretty good defense, but they're looking for linebackers who can pass rush. And this guy had 24.5 sacks over 2 years at Georgia, Walker did. Pittsburgh Steelers, they've got some issues. Cornerback Byron Murphy out of Washington. The Seahawks with wide receiver DK Metcalf out of Ole Miss, part of that duo of good Ole Miss receivers. Arizona State's N'Keal Harry, wide receiver, to the Baltimore Ravens at 22. The Houston Texans, an offensive lineman, Juwan Taylor out of Florida. Safety from Alabama, Deontay Thompson going to Oakland at number 24, they say. Just skim down through here and see if there's anything else of real interest here in this projection. They have my Packers. We have another first-round pick. Have him going with pick number 32 for Alabama's running back Joshua Jacobs. I thought he would be a bigger factor on Monday night than he turned out to be, but he's a beast for sure. And certainly the Packers have been trying to figure out the running back position, so that wouldn't be all that surprising if they went there with that first-round pick.